Off the Ball Breakfast.
I have not seen a minute of this tournament.
That's what the cool kids say these days.
Genuinely,
everyone's saying that. I haven't seen a second of it.
It's not a thing. It hasn't even
live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
But we're talking now with Ciara Trant, four-time All-Ireland winner with Dublin ahead of the All-Ireland semi-finals. Ciara, I think everybody expected the four remaining teams to be the four remaining teams. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was even thinking there just before I came on that, you know, if I had to pick out a game of the weekend, there probably wasn't one, because it was just what happened was what we all expected. You know, there was no real, well, we kind of thought Cork and Dublin would be a bit of a ding-dong, but it wasn't. The Dubs dominated it. So, yeah, but look, it's left us with two very juicy semi-final pairings.
Yeah, definitely the four best teams in the country are left. And, like, ultimately, that's what you want at this stage of the season. Before we get to those two games, what needs to happen so that quarterfinals are more competitive and more teams are actually able to put it up to the best four teams?
I don't know. I think the format is very open. Like there's four groups and only, you know, four groups of three teams and two teams in each group go through. You know, so it's a win one game, you're through to a quarterfinal pretty much. But I think, you know, unfortunately Cork underperformed, Waterford underperformed. Kildare did well. They were just up against Kerry. And then Tipperary, to get to the quarterfinal for them was huge, and you know it'd be good kind of long term in their development, hopefully. But we just didn't get the games, the performances out of a couple of teams, and that's probably why the quarterfinals were kind of dead rubbers. I think it's just unfortunate, but I don't think it needs to change. Like the format's very, very open. You can underperform and still get to a semi final. You know,
what is the story with Cork at the moment? Why have they gone off from a situation where they were like clearly the best team in the country for a decade and a half to a bit now where they can't keep it kicked out to the Dubs?
I don't know. I was thinking about that when I was watching the Galway game, and you can see how many of their players are playing in club All-Ireland finals. And when Cork were dominating, you had Moore and Abbey, where in All-Ireland semi-finals, All-Ireland finals, year after year after year, you know, they were guaranteed to sail through. Munster in Dublin at the moment, you have Kilmacud Crokes. Kerry, I'm sure, will probably put up a good fight in the club championship. You know, they should be looking at getting a club to dominate Munster. But I think with the loss of some big Moran Abbey players, Cork just haven't strung it together. Like they probably went through a transition like Dublin did in the last 2 years, but Cork just haven't got the players out of that. And maybe they need a player or two to come back and not to kind of play matches, but to lead the team and bring the younger ones on. They're just lacking a few players. Like they're so reliant on Katie Quirk up front, Melissa Duggan in the backs, and then Maura O'Callaghan around midfield, Hannah Looney as well. Whereas, you know, usually it's we need to man mark everyone playing Cork, and that's kind of gone a little bit. So I don't know.
Is there a depth issue beyond, so away from Cork, but like, how do you make sure that second tier of teams actually close the gap on the first tier of teams without the first tier of teams getting bad?
It's probably just matches, really. Like you look at Kildare. Kildare came up from intermediate and, you know, they were bookies' favourites to go straight down again, and now they're competing in every match they play. And okay, they're, you know, a good few points short at the final whistle, but it's never, you know, they'll catch someone on the hop one of these days. You look at Waterford as well, their journey over the past maybe 5 or 6 years, now they're contenders, now they're a team that nobody wants to play. You know, they've their name in the hat there as well. It's probably just games. But the step from intermediate to senior is huge. And I think, you know, there's been calls for maybe changing the provincial format. I don't think that's going to work. I think that will make the gap even bigger. We'll be looking at a hurling type scenario there. So I just think it's time and games. And, you know, I think the standard has improved overall over the last couple of years, probably with the popularity of the sport and how serious you know, things are taken outside of the main group of players has brought it to a new level. So I think just maybe a little bit more time, but I'm fairly happy with, you know, the second tier of teams and how competitive it's kind of getting. Look, we're a long way off where we want to be, but we're going in the right direction, I think.
Okay. To that point, Kerry against Meath and Dublin against Galway are double headers on the Saturday of the All-Ireland Hurling Final weekend. So all the football writers will have the opportunity to write about these games the day before. And I think they will probably struggle for a space in the papers the next day, but there'll be live TV coverage all Saturday evening, that evening. They'll have it to themselves. So it's a big opportunity and a big window.
Yeah, and two class games. Like Dublin Galway, you know, it was an incredible game last year. You know, Dubs, we walked away gutted, you know, and it was a massive win for Galway, and Galway would be backing themselves. I don't think they've fully performed yet, and they've been winning. They're in one division two this year, sail through Connacht and have been consistent. And then the Dubs, that was their best performance all year, and still they wasted so many chances yesterday. There's still a lot left in the tank for them. So that's, you know, that's a match you can't miss. It's they both play attacking football, very, very similar styles. The skill levels in both teams, like some of the Galway, the forwards and their running game. They've gone to a lot of kick passing this year. And I think out of all the quarterfinals, Dublin and Galway kicked the most out of any team. So you love to see that. And then the other side, you've Kerry and Meath. Meath, you know, have to get one over Kerry for the All-Ireland final 2 years ago. You know, and you have a lot of stars and just some of the Kerry forwards, like the football they can play. Sheaffe O'Shea is having the best year of her life. You know, Kerry haven't been consistent this year. So there's a game left in them, and it's kind of now or never. Well, it is now or never for the four teams. But if you're a football fan sitting down and watching these two games on Saturday 19th, you're going to be entertained. It's guaranteed.
This is maybe slightly unfair to bring this question in at this point, but is this weekend one of those real kind of signifiers of what actually the GAA might look like after all of this process that we're going through about integration is finished, where it'll get parity of esteem on the weekend and there will be a proper promotional, the full might of the GAA's marketing department, as opposed to it just being the LGFA's responsibility to boost the crowds and tell everybody about these games?
Yeah, and look, I think they'll have no choice but to kind of block off days for the different codes as well. That's the only way they're going to be able to fit everything in, and you know, a group are going to be managed organising it. And look, if the split season stays the way it is, or even if it goes back to September, like people are asking for, I think it's something you could get used to. Like, we know that the finals are, you know, hurling, camogie, football, ladies football. And then if you know, well, the hurling, you know, if you know that pattern and it goes into the All-Ireland semi-finals where we've got football, hurling, or camogie, football, hurling, whatever, it's a pattern we could all get used to. And then, you know, once you know what's coming, you can anticipate it and get really, really excited about it. It makes it easier to organise things. Even from a media point of view, you know, you're able to plan in advance. And I just, yeah, look, it will just be easier. But it's this time of the year makes it easier. If you go back a couple of weeks, the amount of games that need to be played, that's, I think, where the GAA will struggle a little bit.
And do you think the LGFA are set up to capitalise on the fact that they do have this window this Saturday of All-Ireland Hurling Final weekend?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, there's no excuses not to really bar the competing with the hurling, but there's nothing else on, really. You know, we haven't got the women's team aren't in the Euros. You know, there's nothing else really on. There's nobody, Wimbledon maybe, but with nothing else really to compete with. So why not?
What do you do? Because it's a very difficult thing, I suppose. And it's an interesting thing. It's not always to draw parallels, but it feels the way it is that it feels now that this weekend, coming into this semi-final weekend, it's like you have two great games. And you have sort of two teams that have, well, three of the teams have kind of won recent All-Ireland. There's a lot of recognition there of players and everything else. And it kind of feels that up until this year, in the men's alternative, that it was a similar sort of thing, that you kind of were getting through an awful lot before you got to that kind of point when it gets semi-final, final. It's all decisive and crucial. And more often than not, I suppose all the teams involved have a good chance at winning. But it's a hard point to introduce people to a story kind of at that last 4 point. And I suppose everyone's in the business of it, I suppose, in terms of promotion. You're trying to sell some sort of story to it. And I don't know that's a difficult thing to do. I don't know if anyone has an answer to that. It's a difficult thing to bring people right in toward the end of something like that.
Yeah, and I think the story the LGFA have been going to is, you know, level the playing field. Can't see, can't be, that sort of thing. And maybe that's fatigued now, that they need a different angle. I think as well, if you go down the line of, you know, this is going to be entertaining, it might come across as a little bit patronising as well. So I don't really know. But hopefully if, you know, people are sitting down on Saturday and they're looking for something to watch, they pick up a story from these games or they pick up a player or something happens and that, you know, grabs people's attentions for the final. But yeah, I don't know what really angle you could take other than they're going to be cracking games. And maybe that's what you show off. Like, I've always been fairly critical of the LGFA that anytime they're promoting something, they only ever show goals. You know, show other aspects of the game. Maybe that's just saves. It's a goalkeeper. But, you know, I don't know, a couple of videos out there, you know, try get them to go viral a little bit, you know, pump a bit of money into it, you know, and show different aspects of the game. Maybe that's, like, there's loads of people that can create those videos these days. So, yeah, like, maybe that's just an angle. Try whet people's appetite of what they're going to see.
Me, they're outsiders at this stage, according to the bookmakers. Are they your outsiders as well, even though they have the best player left in the competition?
Yeah, look, I think they've had a very easy route. Well, not a very easy route, a more straightforward route to the finals. They had in their group Kildare and Armagh, you know, this time last year, you would have said that Meath would have sailed through them fixtures and they really struggled. And then at the weekend, who did they play at the weekend?
Tip,
yeah. Like, that's Tip's first quarterfinal, and I think it was 40 years or something like that, you know. So they were happy. They came through an easy group. I just think, you know, if you look at Meath and Dublin and Leinster, Dublin have been, you know, giving them, you know, solid beatings. Meath have a good team. I think they're too reliant on maybe 4 or 5 players. Niamh Glogley and Marion, Marion Farrelly have really come into it this year and stepped up. You know, this Vicky Walls playing full championship this year. You still have Emma Duggan, Avian Cleary. But I just think they're still lacking everywhere else on the park. Whereas if you look at the likes of Galway, Kerry and Dublin, they just have threats from everywhere. Okay. And yeah, I just think it's Kerry will be happy with their fixture against Meath now in the semi-final.
One last question on Kerry here before, because we'll obviously have plenty of time to preview this. You're concerned about Kerry's inconsistency over the course of the championship, and yet they've kind of been taking care of business.
Yeah, like, you don't want to peak too early either. I was concerned about the Dubs as well, but they had a very good performance at the weekend. I just think Kerry, with the strength and depth in their panel, that they need to be performing. And maybe, I don't know, is it competition for places? Possibly not, but they should be hockey in some of the teams they're playing. They should be racking up way more goals than they're getting. I think they're struggling a little bit on their own kickouts and opposition kickouts, so maybe they just tighten that up a little bit. But as well, you know, watching their game against Kildare, it was nearly a case of they were going through the motions a little bit as well. So maybe they're trying to hold something back or keep a performance in the bag, not peak too early, but you can get caught on the hop now and, you know, Meath are able to get goals. So, you know, I'm expecting that Kerry will peak now in the semi-final and will be more consistent for 40, 50 minutes. But they're coming in and out of games and they're better than that, I just feel.
I know it's a bit early to call it a period of dominance, but say as the reigning All-Ireland champions, it's interesting from your point of view with Dublin when you were going through that. I mean, was the kind of modus operandi every time to go out and maximise like that? And I don't mean like you obviously have an aim to get through and you win every game, but is the your want to beat teams? Is there an advantage to that, if you know what I mean? Like, not beat teams, but I mean beat teams well, as you're saying, like, to really kind of influence yourself over it.
Yeah, like, you're expected to perform, you know, and you take Dublin at the weekend, they'd a strong win over Galway, but they left so much behind. Wasted chances, kicking the ball short. They left maybe 3 or 4 goals behind. And that will be their narrative, you know, in their, you know, wrap-up this evening and into the week ahead. It's like, you can't waste those chances. You're not going to get them again. And I think Kerry would be the same. You know, as the season comes to an end, the margins get finer and finer. And you can't be leaving goals behind. You can't be kicking balls short. You can't be taking the wrong options. And Kerry should be kicking themselves, because you're trying to be the best. You're trying to perform to your best every week. And Kerry haven't been. So maybe that's something that they're chasing. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're holding it in the bag and they're, okay, look, we're creating the chances. We're happy with that for now. But, you know, it could be too little too late. But for us, when we were playing, it's, you know, if the ball didn't go to hand, and you know, inside the 14, you know, if they're dropping short, you know, that's when you're going to get the ear chewed off you. You know, the following day or on the bus home, as often was the case. So, you know, you're not, the narrative is never to go out and just get through a game. It's always to perform.
Ciara, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Cheers. See you, lads.